This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart, and this is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the USA. Good afternoon from London, Nick, and good morning to you, sir.
Hey, Johnny. Good morning. Good to be back with you.
Now, of course, we last spoke on Wednesday after those CPI numbers on both sides of the Atlantic, and particularly here in the UK, markets were buoyed by those numbers because there was a drop in the inflation rate, which made markets feel as though an interest rate cut is certainly on the cards for February on this side of the Atlantic. And actually, in the last 24 hours, we've had further proof, if proof was needed, that is going to happen on the 6th of February when the Bank of England next meet, because we've had poor GDP figures here in the UK, and this morning, poor retail sales figures as well. And I believe where you are in the USA has also been retail sales numbers.
Yeah, and as you mentioned that, Johnny, when we last spoke on Wednesday, yes, you had a lighter CPI print, both in the United States and the core CPI front, and then in the UK with CPI year over year coming in at 2.5 compared to a 2.6% year over year inflation rate. Now, the key thing there is, as you mentioned, that was our starting point. But since we've last spoken on the UK side of things, you mentioned GDP and retail sales coming in light sort of buoys up the story a little bit for rate cuts, right? Because if you're seeing several economic readings starting to slide a little bit, that gives you a little bit more of something to work with in terms of the strength or case for rate cuts coming sooner and more heavily. So yeah, very, very interesting kind of last 48 hours for the Bank of England as their policy meeting. We just found out before starting the podcast, February 6th is when that takes place. And right around that time, we have a cluster of central banks, Johnny, too. I thought about this. You have the Bank of Japan and the Fed, right? The FOMC, their decisions are going to come slightly before that. So I also do wonder if that will have any impact on what the Bank of England does choose to do. But yes, the economic data out of the UK coming in a little bit light. Pound against the dollar here, just for a price quote at the time of recording this, we're sitting at 1.2189. So continuing to lose ground against the dollar. So very, very weak recently, the pound has been trading up at 1.34 at one point, now down to 1.22, give or take. So, you know, big slide there for the pound. And then you mentioned US retail sales numbers also coming in a little bit light. So been a theme here, a little bit of consistency across both sides, US and UK, of just a little bit more of a light print on some economic data here this week. You know, US data, I would still say, is shining above the rest right now, some very strong US numbers, but it's showing some cooling. And I think that alongside other places, if we do get more expectations for the US to see rate cuts, that also does something to our, you know, G7 kind of allies. If the Fed is a little bit more willing to cut, that may give a little bit more room to other places to feel they can do the same and feel less pressured to kind of keep rates closer to what the Fed is doing. So where one goes, they typically do follow one another. This data is not, you know, our economies are very intertwined to one degree or another.
Indeed, because a lot of those G7 nations, they're in competition and they want to protect their currencies, don't they? And it's interesting, though, Nick, I often say to you how reactive markets are to these numbers, to this data. And it seems almost an obvious thing to say. But this time, a week or two ago, you were saying, we were saying, plenty of other analysts have said, we might not even have a rate cut in 2025, certainly on your side of the pond. But now suddenly it's all change. And, you know, one has to sort of be a little bit cynical in a way about how expert markets really are about what lies in store, because we're swinging from one end to the other. All of a sudden, we're now talking in this country of two, maybe three, maybe even four rate cuts in 2025 at a rate of around 3.5% by the time we get to the end of the year. So one does have to take this all with a very big pinch of salt.
Well, yes. And you know, just a little bit of a flashback to the beginning of 2024. If you remember then, many analysts were saying that we were going to see six rate cuts by the end of the year. We only ended up getting three. And the year before that, people were calling for certainty on the side of a recession, and we have not seen one. So, you know, as you mentioned, the ability to forecast the future is just a very difficult thing to do for not just analysts, but for anybody, right? The future is just unknown. And it doesn't mean that there's not, you know, a worthiness to trying to kind of look at the data that we're looking at and maybe give an educated guess. But it does go to show that even an educated guess is still a guess. So there's never a certain factor here. That being said, all we can kind of do as analysts, as people who are watching this stuff, is look at the direction. Where is the, you know, if we're talking hockey, right? Where is the puck going? Not where is the puck right now, right? The puck seems to be going in the direction of, okay, well, we've got a little bit cooler data here recently. Inflation doesn't seem to be flaring up as much as people had feared. Perhaps rate cuts are still on the horizon. And maybe that, you know, there was a 30%, a week ago, there was a 30% chance that we'd actually see a hike this year on the Fed Watch tool. And now that has really diminished. So all over the place. But that's, again, Johnny, what makes markets volatile. And it honestly makes more stories out of this stuff for us to discuss. So it keeps it fun.
We shouldn't really knock it, really, should we? Because this is why we're in a job.
That's right.
If there was absolute certainty, there would be no point in discussing anything. I mean, talking of the future and talking of changes, of course, on Monday, we've got a monumental moment in US history and almost in global history, really, with Donald Trump becoming president again for the second time. It's been an incredibly dramatic last 12 months, last 5 years, really historical moments. And, you know, from that assassination or two assassination attempts during the presidential election campaign in 2024, we've now reached the point where he will once again be president on Monday. And the economic ramifications of that are many. And we've discussed that many, many times in terms of, is he really going to be as bullish about those tariffs against China and the rest of the world? What effect will that have on inflation? And will he actually decide to pare back some of his designs on tariffs to avoid inflation getting out of hand? We've just been talking about CPI and how it's under control seemingly at the moment, but all could change. And it'll be very interesting watching Trump speak on Monday, because I cast my mind back to 4 years ago. He actually said a lot in his speech, didn't he, when he became president for the first time. So markets will be watching this speech with great interest.
Yeah. And when it comes to Trump taking office, the market, as you just kind of highlighted well, there's many question marks about this. Which direction? I think the question that markets are going to be most focused on with the return of Donald Trump is, where are the priorities? Because, you know, we've heard so many things. He wants to do this. He wants to do that. His administration wants to do this. The real question that markets will be very fixated on, in my opinion, is, where does he move the fastest and the farthest, the soonest, right? Where's his priority? Because there's two sides to this that I see, at least right now. If there is more of a focus on systematic reform and more of a, we need to reduce government spending and remove people from their positions and reduce, if that is the priority that the market is sensing or feeling, the market's not going to like that as much. If the prioritizing is more focused on, we need to get regulations removed rapidly, and we'll discuss tariffs, but we're going to take them at a certain pace that is hospitable to our allies and our economy. If there's more of that feel to the narrative, I think the markets will be very bullish. So I think it's mostly about priorities. Is it more of a restrictive kind of, we're shutting this stuff down focus? Or is it more of, we are going to release all these, you know, regulations from businesses and things are going to boom because of it? That's the question. And I think that markets, until we see the actual inauguration, we don't know where that focus is going to be. There's so many things have been thrown out as ideas and changes. The question will just be, you can only do so much so fast. What does he focus on first and foremost?
Are you saying that markets want less regulation? Surely that would be the case. And if Trump decides on that, then that will actually boost markets.
Yes. So if he does, you know, kind of go in the direction of low taxes, more stimulus for businesses, more just kind of more generally speaking, the market feels and senses more of a sense of spending in the direction of corporate America or saving money for businesses, things like that. If that is the focus, then yes, I would think that that's, in fact, actually, I saw something very interesting recently that a lot of companies actually, when surveyed or polled, felt more inclined or more interested in deregulation than they were interested in tax cuts or tax breaks. The deregulation allows many of these companies, especially like in, you know, the banking world and in home builders and all these different industries, they are very sensitive to some of the kind of restrictions that the US government does or does not have. So if those get lifted, I think a lot of them can thrive. A lot of those, that's the idea, at least for a lot of those businesses, is less regulation means they can operate higher margins, more profitably, et cetera.
It's interesting what you say, because here in the UK, Nick, we have a problem with lack of growth. Perhaps Keir Starmer and the Labour government here might take a leaf out of Donald Trump's book, burning those regulations up and making it easier to do business.
Of course, there's pros and cons to everything, and things are highly controversial, but strictly from a perspective of global competition, we know we're living in a world that is more and more globally competitive. More regulations within an economy generally are going to be perceived as more restrictive. You know, if you have two countries and one country is completely pro-business, letting them run wild, and the other one is restricting businesses, just theoretically, it would make sense that the companies in the less restricted places can thrive and run over, you know, the companies in places where are more restricted. So we'll see how that all plays out. But it is, generally speaking, arguably why in the last 100 years or whatever, the U.S. capitalist pro-business society, innovation, all that has been, could argue, very successful. But at least in terms of our stock market, our economy, you know, you can kind of see the fruits of the labor there of pro-business environment.
And it's a very competitive market nowadays, particularly when you think that the USA has to go up against China, which will have, I would imagine, less regulations or the sorts of regulations that have been introduced in the West. But anyway, let's not dwell on that too much, Nick. Is there anything else happening next week apart from the mere fact that we're going to get a new-ish US president?
Yeah, next week is a little bit lighter. We get some Canadian CPI numbers. We get some jobs data out of the UK. And then we have, of course, kind of our standard unemployment claims for the US, retail sales out of Canada. We've got the Bank of Japan's policy rate and monetary policy statement. And then finally, to end out the week, we have some US PMIs as well as UK and German and French PMIs as well. So kind of a loaded week next week, but no major headline kind of numbers to await. So we'll stay active and, of course, cover anything that changes. I think, obviously, the biggest event of next week is going to be Trump taking office and what comes next for markets. So very well could be a pretty volatile week next week.
Excellent. Thanks very much for joining us today, Nick, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by